Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flissy. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is Cougat Cavalcade by Xavier Cougat, a 1958 release on Columbia Records, catalog number CL1094.
So I have no recollection of where we obtained this album. This album, I guess, is one of our really old acquisitions, like one of the first.
Yeah, this is definitely a very early acquisition.
Probably something that you bought, I guess. I don't know.
Probably.
But anyway, what does this album look like, Flissy?
It has this very sort of silly and charming cover. It has just sort of this beige, like, photo studio background. And then in brightly colored rainbow of letters, Cougat Cavalcade. And you can see Xavier Cougat standing among these ladies. He's wearing a red suit with a black bow tie, and he's got this little chihuahua in the crook of his arm. And there's a variety of ladies. There's like a lady in sort of, kind of a Latin-inspired outfit with like colorful ruffles. And then this girl in like this little, blue lace onesie. And then we've got like this Breakfast in Tiffany's kind of lady with the black dress and white gloves and cigarette holder. And then like a housewife and a lady with maracas, I think, like all standing around him. It's got the tracks on the left and his greatest hits in new high fidelity in the other corner. And then on the back, it has all the markers of kind of a budget release with the track listings and then a list of the Columbia catalog below.
Yeah, so one of the difficult things about Xavier Cougat, all of his recordings were originally released as 78s, I think. And so I think basically all the LPs are just sort of like best of compilations. And so they're all sort of ambiguously the same.
Yeah, although I know that he did make some later releases in the 50s and 60s on Columbia and Decca, but this is not one of them.
All right, Flissy, well, what did you pick as your clip?
My pick is called My Shawl, and it is the fourth track on side A.
All right, let's take a listen. So this is an interesting pick because originally, I guess, I thought it was a tango until you pointed out to me that it really is actually a rumba. But regardless, I think it sort of has that Xavier Cougat sound with, sort of got these strings with this like marimba under it. And, it has like this piano bit that comes in and it just sort of has like this general softness to it. So why did you pick this piece, Flissy?
Yeah, that is exactly why I picked it, actually. On this album, there are several rumbas as well as tangos. You're not wrong to hear tango. And I think that sort of softer string sound of Xavier Cougat is like a big part of his sound. It's like these big lyrical Latin rumbas there. I think that's a big part of his sound. And last week we talked about the Dance Again by Edmundo Rose. And so this is like, they're both kind of like Cuban influenced Latin big bands. And last week you said that Edmundo Rose had a big Hollywood sound. And I'm like, no. I think Xavier Cugat is more Hollywood big band sound than Edmundo Rose. Like, I think Edmundo Rose is like way more lively and way more percussive. And Xavier Cugat has like that orchestral sound from all the big string section that makes it sound really Hollywood to me.
I mean, I guess I can't say that you're wrong, because Xavier Cugat was in a lot of Hollywood productions featuring his band.
It's true.
But I don't know. I still disagree. I think that, I mean, Xavier Cugat sort of has that, you know, sort of like supper club sort of sound,
yeah.
I think, more than Edmundo Rose, who I think it, I don't know. I mean, I guess this is the kind of song that you might hear in the background of some romantic scene in a Hollywood movie, but I still stand by my analysis of Edmundo Rose.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, and this one, I think I had a hard time finding the details about this song. I mean, My Shawl is kind of like a very generic title of a song. I'm not sure if there is, if it's a traditional Cuban song, for example, if it has another name, I don't know, or a Spanish song, I'm not sure. But I think it might be a Cugat original. It was originally recorded in 1933, and I think like during sometime in the 1930s, the Songwriters Union had a strike, and it was difficult for recording artists to record a lot of the standards. And so there was like kind of this dip in recordings for a little while there was this songwriter strike, and Xavier Cugat sort of hopped in on that and went with his catalog of Latin songs and arranged them in this like big band sound that people were familiar with, and that is one of the ways he kind of like edged his way into the American music scene.
All right, well, what can you tell us about Xavier Cugat, Felicity? I mean, I had seen him in movies, most notably You Were Never Lovelier, and always assumed that he was Cuban, but is that true?
Sort of. It's sort of true. He was actually born January 1st, 1900 in Catalonia, Spain, and his family moved to Cuba very early. So I read a couple different places. 3 years old, 5 years old, somewhere around that time. So he did live in Cuba for much of his young life and moved with his family to New York City sometime in the 19-teens. So he would have been a teenager when he moved to New York. And by that point, he had already started his musical training. He's a violinist and arranger. And even as a teenager, when he immigrated to the U.S., he first started playing violin solos for the opera singer Enrique Caruso. And then in the 1920s, he had a pretty popular tango band, which was kind of had some sort of popularity. It was a fad in the 1920s. And so his tango band made some musical shorts to be played in movie theaters, and those were pretty popular. And throughout his career, he made a lot of movie appearances, such as You Were Never Lovelier, which we just mentioned, and I think maybe six or seven movies with Esther Williams. And in 1931, he opened the Waldorf Astoria's, like, I think they had like a second dinner club room or like a patio or something. And so he helped open that new part of the Waldorf Astoria and was a house band there for 16 years. Not immediately, though. I think I'm not totally clear on the start date, but it was like, and then through the 1930s and into the 1940s. And that was in New York City. And he was also a restaurateur and opened a restaurant, a Mexican restaurant in LA that was open from the 1940s to 1968. So I can only imagine his schedule from like Waldorf Astoria to being in a movie to running his restaurant in LA. Like, that seems crazy to me.
Yeah. And also kind of completely random that he was running a Mexican restaurant.
I know. Yeah. And I guess this Mexican restaurant was like half Mexican menu and half like American food. And so it was like you could order from the Mexican menu or from the not Mexican menu. And I think it was on Wikipedia somewhere. I was reading like a list of famous people who ate there and what their what the foods they ordered were. I guess Marlon Brando would order 2 quesadillas.
They were so good, he had to get 2.
Yeah. And so anyway, in Xavier Cugat's personal life, he was a womanizer, allegedly, for sure. He was married 5 times, and his last wife was Charo, the Mexican singer and actress. And he retired in Spain and died in 2000.
All right. Well, let's get to our second clip. This is my pick, and it is Tico Tico, and I believe it is the last track on side A.
That's right.
All right. Let's take a listen. Let's see, what do you think?
I think we both know that we're both fans of this song. We don't really need to talk about that, except now everybody else knows. I like this version. It's so fast. I think it's a nice contrast to the song that I picked. And it has this cool thing where I guess it is the marimba that is playing the melody on this, or vibraphone. I think it's a marimba.
Yeah.
And then it... So the marimba takes the melody for a while, and then on the next verse, the strings play it. And I think that's kind of cool, the arrangement of this one, where there's this little bit of back and forth between the marimba and the strings.
Yeah, so I had to pick this song because I have a bit of an obsession with it, or I did at least. I guess, I don't know, sort of back in the early days when I was first collecting music on iTunes or whatever. And, you know, before the days of streaming music, I somehow got really obsessed with Tico Tico and was starting to try to collect all of the different versions that I could find, and had like 60-something versions of Tico Tico.
Yeah, I think it was like 65 was peak Tico Tico.
And, I mean, really, I mean, this version is good, but there is another Xavier Cugat version that has lyrics that I think is my favorite, because it is just so fast and it's just... hard for me to comprehend how somebody can actually sing the lyrics that fast.
Yeah.
And this piece is like written by this Brazilian artist, Aquina de Abreu, who, and he wrote it in 1917, and it's in the Brazilian choro style. I don't know how to explain why this song just appealed to me so much, but... for whatever reason, I was very obsessed with it. And so hearing it upon re-listening to this album, I knew it had to be my pick. And the Portuguese lyrics, which I previously mentioned, were written by Aloysio de Oliveira, who, Brazilian fans may know, was the founder of Elenco Records, which is also one of my favorite recording labels. And there's also a different version with alternative, like, English lyrics that I guess was known for being written by the Andrew sisters. And I think I'm not exactly sure when the Portuguese lyrics were written, but I think the first sort of popular recording of it with the Portuguese lyrics happened, I think, around 1933. Hmm. So, but definitely worth listening to. I mean, I guess the lyrics that Aloysio de Oliveira wrote are about... the title of the song translates to something like sparrow in the cornmeal, and it's about the sparrow that keeps eating somebody's cornmeal. And yeah, the English version has much different lyrics about, it sounds like Tico Tico is a cuckoo clock or something, and mm-hmm. it's trying to tell her when it's time for her date or something at 8. I'm not sure. I don't like the English lyrics as much. But yeah, also, I guess Carmen Miranda was famous for singing this song, or this was popularized by her. So lots of different, really great versions of it out there.
We should do a Carmen Miranda album on this song, on this podcast.
Yeah, you could pick one out. I think we have some Carmen Miranda compilation or something. Yeah. But her situation is very similar to where it's like, I think her stuff was not really released in LP format, and so mm-hmm. all the LPs of her stuff are just random compilations. So yeah, what do you think about this album, Fussy?
You know, I would say, like, this is an okay Xavier Cugat album. I'm a pretty big Xavier Cugat fan. I like it for this, like, sort of interesting mix of tangos, rumbas, and more upbeat numbers like the Tico Tico. But there aren't really any standout tracks, and there's not much in the way of vocals on this album.
Tico Tico always stands out in any album it's on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, except for Tico Tico, of course.
And there's Brazil on there, which is also...
It's true. There's... Okay. All right. The sounds. It's good.
And
also
the
has...
Brazilian songs on it are good.
Wait. Was Brazil written by a Brazilian person?
Yeah. Ari Barroso.
Okay. And it also is Besame Mucho, which is another one of my jams. Okay.
Yeah, but the, you know, we can't talk about Besame Mucho until we get to...
Andy Russell.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, indeed. Okay. Man, we got a whole list of things to get to on here. Yeah, so, okay, it's good. But I think there are actually stronger Xavier Cugat albums out there.
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't have any of our really favorite Xavier Cugat songs.
No.
Like Lady in Red, which is a classic.
Uh-huh.
Or the... version of Tico Tico with lyrics. Yeah.
I don't know why I picked this one. I'm like, oh, well, this one, I think I pulled it because it has Tico Tico and Brazil and Besame Mucho. I'm like, oh, this has got some good songs. We can find something to talk about on this one. But on the whole, I don't know that this would be my all-time favorite Xavier Cugat, but it's still solid.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is overall not his best album, but I sort of think it's interesting in that it does, like, I mean, there's lots of compilation albums that are like, oh, these are rumbas by Cugat, or the infamous waltzes, but by Cugat.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And so this one is interesting because it does feature songs of, you know, different styles, but you can sort of see how they all are played in the Cugat style.
Yeah, and it's his greatest hits, New in High Fidelity.
Yes, Newly in High Fidelity. But unfortunately, our copy, as you heard, you know, we have a bit of a scratch or something in Tico Tico.
Oh, and tragedy.
Bit of a skip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it doesn't cause it to play, you know, infinitely, which would be okay. It causes it to skip ahead, which is unfortunate because you miss out on those few extra seconds.
On one Tico.
Tico, yeah. Well, I mean, with the speed in which they sing the lyrics, if this was the version of the lyrics, you'd miss like two verses.
I see.
So, yeah, I mean, overall, it's worth checking out some Xavier Cugat. Like his LPs on CD, it's just random grab bags of compilations. So I guess feel free to just peruse at your pleasure. But overall, one of my favorite Latin artists. And I guess, yeah, adds to the sort of the 30s and 40s random Latin exotica with the, you know, just sort of playing all South American styles of music as if they were one country, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for more information about Xavier Cugat, you can visit our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/55. As always, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at livinginhifi. For longer correspondence, you can email us at feedback@livinginhifi.com. And next week we have something a little bit different than the usual fare on this podcast.
It's one of my uneasy listening.
Uneasy listening. Yeah. It's one of my favorite albums. Maybe something that you know, people have heard. You know, more sort of mainstream album, but something I'm really looking forward to talking about. So stay tuned. And thanks for listening.
Bye bye.